This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about divorce without court and reduced pain by working together with an attorney and mental health professional. My guests are Paula Lahan, a certified specialist in family law. Her office is in San Francisco. She is a full-time mediator. My other guest is Stacy Schuster, a psychologist and family therapist. Her office is also in San Francisco. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And for those of you who are wondering, we will do our Call a Lawyer night next week, April 22nd. And so if you want to talk to one of our Call a Lawyer lawyers off the air, wherever you may be, whether you listen to this program live or delayed or whatever, you're welcome to join us on the evening of April 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. by calling 800-525-9917. That's for Call a Lawyer. Well, Stacy and Paula, it's really nice to have you here. Let me pose this question. What is the advantage of not going to court and thinking about mediation?
Stacy,
if you would, if you would start us.
Okay.
You as the family therapist.
I think it's important to everybody who's going through the process of a separation or divorce to find ways to resolve their disputes in a cooperative way outside of court. Court litigation can be extremely damaging to relationships, to children, to the family, and make things worse than they were when they decided to have a divorce.
It can certainly, I suppose, if the parties have money, it can certainly be much more expensive, can it not?
It's incredibly expensive. It's a sink of money that you cannot anticipate.
Which doesn't make an awful lot of sense, really.
No, because it's a time when people actually go broke and spend their college funds, their retirements, and so on.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is.
That's terrible. Is it true, actually, that in mediation that people can actually have reduced pain? I mean, going through a divorce, and I've gone through a divorce in many years ago, is very painful. Is it true that through mediation, Paula, let me throw this one to you, if you don't mind. Is it true that you actually can reduce the pain that people, both sides, husband, wife, maybe husband, husband, wife, depending on you know whether you're heterosexual or both of the same sex, is it pretty much generally that you can have reduced pain?
I would say yes. I, as a former litigator, I can tell you that the litigation process is really, it's damaging. It's not only financially damaging, but it is emotionally difficult for parties to go through and put everything, their lives, their dirty laundry, so to speak, into court papers and have to allege negative things in order to get something that their attorney has promised them. It's such a difficult process, and you've got a judge who doesn't know anything about your situation telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. So instead, mm-hmm. if you can back up and actually sit down with your partner, sit across the table from them in a mediation context and try to work through the issues and reach agreements together, that's at least one of the ways that you can reduce some of the pain that can happen.
Are you, in both of your extensive experience in dealing with family law issues, is it fair to say that when someone is about to get divorced or is thinking about it, that they are not really thinking clearly, generally speaking? They're so emotionally disturbed.
Yes.
Stacy, please.
Yes, absolutely. When somebody is emotionally aroused, angry, upset, you're in an adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. When you're adrenalized, when your physiology is adrenalized like that, you're in fight or flight mode. You cannot think. You can't think rationally. We weren't built mm-hmm. that way. And often very poor decisions are made with the help of divorce attorneys who want to go to court at those moments that can escalate problems way beyond where they need to be.
That's very interesting for you to say this, that attorneys are suggesting. When you were doing your cases and you both do mediation, I mean, you do family therapy, Stacy, generally speaking, but you also do mediation with respect to divorce cases.
Right.
And you're exclusively, Paula, a mediator.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that you have something called, I think the model you use is integrative mediation. What essentially does that mean?
Integrative mediation is when we're integrating the two fields. So if we're not looking at that and just doing the individual mediations, as a mediator myself, I work with the parties, but I'm an attorney. If Stacy is mediating with parties, she's doing that just as a mental health professionals. When we integrate the two fields, the two of us, we're co-mediating, so we're working together as a team with our clients to help them through their case. We're able to help them through the process in a far more productive way than we might otherwise, particularly in the high conflict situations or the cases where there are significant emotional issues arising as a result of the dissolving relationship.
Do you both think that it's important? I mean, generally speaking, with the significant percentage of marriages that are going into divorce, which I've seen over the years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of all divorces, of all marriages in California end in divorce. And that seems to have been, at least when you read about it, seems to be a rather consistent percentage of what's going on. Do you think that it would be helpful if people are really intelligent? And I'm not sure that that's really true, and I don't like to be negative because I'm, frankly, generally a very positive person. But the way I see people drive on the freeways today, it makes me wonder how intelligent or unintelligent are these people. But do you think that there might be some merit if someone is thinking of marrying someone else to perhaps have some kind of premarital mediation or some kind of training? Now, maybe this is, you know, something that's a misto magic, but I'm wondering, Stacy, what do you think?
We absolutely, and both Paula and I do that in our respective fields. I've done lots of premarital counseling when people, I've actually been referred clients from clergy.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
How interesting.
The
clergy can't stand it anymore, so I'm going to send you to Paula. I mean, send you to Stacy,
right.
Excuse me.
Who want to sort of anticipate some of the issues that will come up. Maybe they have some concerns. One of them wants children, one of them doesn't.
Yeah.
Or they have problems with family members, in-laws, things like that. And so they want to talk about it going in and improve their communication and strengthen their marriage right from the beginning. And I know, Paula, you have work that you do.
That's right. I do. We do a lot of premarital mediations as well. So a couple who is about to be married, hopefully not really soon, but hopefully they give us some time and they can come in, the two of them, they come in together. And I meet with them as the neutral mediator. We talk about the law. We talk about how they might structure their financial partnership together to help avoid some issues that might come up later. Talk about how they're
going
to manage.
It's like a prenuptial agreement. Is that what, I mean, I've done that on the program before over the years.
That's
is that what
right.
you're talking about?
That would be the goal. But the unique part of this is that I'm the neutral person. I'm a neutral attorney working with both of them to create their financial partnership agreement together, their premarital agreement together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go and they review that with their separate attorneys, which is required part of the enforceability of these agreements. But in this model, we're actually able to create their agreement in the same room together, right? Mm. They're both involved rather than one person's attorney drafting an agreement for one person, and it's sort of very one-sided. We don't have that issue, and we're able to talk about everything out in the open. It's a fantastic way of creating a premarital agreement.
How do you avoid, you as the attorney, and you are a certified specialist in family law, have
right.
been for several years, where you took the original bar exam, you had to jump over a number of hurdles, rules and get people to say, oh, she's worth, yeah, we'd like to have her as a certified specialist. And then you have to take another, you had to take another exam through the California Board of Legal Specialization, didn't you?
Yes.
So have you had enough exams? Are you going to take anything more? Want to go to med school now? What do you do if, for example, a party or parties, let's say neither of the parties have an attorney, and you, Paula, are working with them, mediating with them for this financial agreement so that this will work. How do you avoid any potential liability if one down the road, once they get married, say, you know, I think that Paula Lahan was really favoring you, honey.
Well, there is quite a lot of protections for the mediator who is working as a neutral, and that's part of the statutory framework for mediators, to be able to work with people and help them work together. But also, each party is entitled and should be working with separate attorneys mm-hmm. in the premarital mediation context. And if they aren't, there are certain situations where possibly they might not have separate attorneys, but I would tell you that most attorneys would say that they really should have separate attorneys if they want to avoid enforcement issues down the road.
I see.
There are certain minor exceptions, but the agreement itself, that premarital agreement, would spell out that they had expressly waived their rights. But again, any family law attorneys who are listening to this right now are saying, no, you cannot, you should not, do not let them have a premarital agreement without a separate attorney.
That's interesting. What do you do, if I may direct this one again to you, Paula, what do you do if there are two attorneys, one for each of the persons? And let's say we're now, they're married, but now they're in the process of getting a divorce. How do you deal? What role do these attorneys play, other than perhaps if you're preparing a financial agreement and each of the parties takes the proposed financial agreement, shows his to his lawyer, her to her lawyer, et cetera. What other role do these lawyers play in that you're mediating a divorce which is not going to go through the court system other than a petition being filed and possibly some kind of a stipulated judgment or whatever we want to call it, a marital settlement agreement, which is also filed with the court? What role do they play, these other attorneys?
The role of the separate attorneys really depends on the clients involved and what they'd like from their separate attorneys. So you can have a consulting attorney or you can have a representing attorney. So typically, probably more typically in our divorce mediations, our clients have consulting attorneys. Those attorneys are not in the room with us when we're mediating. The mediation is with the clients and the mediator or mediators. And when a session ends, then everybody goes off and they can talk to their separate attorneys about the status of the negotiations, where they're at, what ideas they're contemplating, talk about what options there might be. You know, if we're talking about perhaps a spousal support buyout, for example, that might
What does that mean, spousal support buyout? What does that mean?
That would be a situation
get
where...
Get lost. Here, I'm giving you that money. Just get lost.
Not quite.
All right. Okay.
But in lieu of monthly ongoing spousal support payments, which is different from child support payments,
yes.
But in lieu of monthly ongoing spousal support payments, have a one-time payment.
And that's it.
And there are various factors that go into considering what that might look like. So that would definitely be something that somebody might be going to their separate attorney to talk about and to say, okay, let's map out some different ideas and how might this look. And also talking about their financial stability in the future as well with all this.
Let me let everybody know what's going on. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on divorce without court and reduced pain by working together with an attorney and a mental health professional. My guests are Stacy Schuster, PhD, a psychologist and family therapist, and Paula Lahan, a certified specialist in family law. And she is a full-time mediator. For those of you who are listening to us live, we will be taking some calls from you in the second half hour of the program, whether you listen to us live in the Bay Area or on the internet at www.kalw.org, and I'll give that number in a few minutes. Again, I want to remind all of you that if you're wondering, when are they doing their Call a Lawyer night again? Well, it usually is on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that will be next week on April 22nd, and if you'd want to join us, the topic on the air will be not landlord-tenant, it'll be bankruptcy law, debtors' rights in dealing with overwhelming debt, and you'll be able to talk with attorneys in the conference room here if you'd like. I'll give you that number so that you have it and can put it down for next week, Wednesday, April 22nd, starting at 7 p.m., 800-525-9917. And again, that's for Call a Lawyer next week. Now, if I may do this, please, if you would. Stacy, you sometimes do what's called co-parent counseling.
Right.
And this is this a blood session or
how
does this work?
I hope not. Co-parent counseling is a developing discipline in the divorce field. And people are working as we speak to try to get some definition in the courts for when it is required or demanded in a court settlement. But also people can do it, can choose to do it on their own if they are divorcing or separating. I mean, when you live together and you have children, you figure things out. Once you divorce, you don't have 100% say over your children anymore. You're sharing it with this other person that you may or may not be getting along with. So in my model, co-parent counseling allows you to communicate about the needs of your children and what they're going through in your divorce or in your separate households if you are already divorced, and how to coordinate better for their care. Some of what co-parent counseling can be is working to mediate a parenting plan. And what is a parenting plan, you might ask?
Yes, please.
It can be part of a divorce process, often included in the marital settlement agreement, in which people write down their agreements about parenting their children together. So we're going to have the child every other week or every 3 days or whatever their agreement is, whatever their time
is. Part of the summer or
summer vacation, travel, international travel. Is that okay with you? If I want to, who's carrying the passport? Who holds the passport? There's so many issues that go into co-parent counseling that you don't think about until you're living in separate households. Another issue that comes up that's a very big one is holidays and who spends time with the child on various holidays, birthdays, and so on.
Do you find it frequently where there are couples who have children, and let's say minor children, do you find frequently that you are doing counseling for the children also, aside from the parents?
I find it infrequently.
Do you?
Infrequently.
Really?
Because I don't like to wear too many hats at once. And
yes,
if I'm doing co-parent counseling with the parents, I don't want to also be meeting with the children.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will meet with them on a one-time basis, either alone or with their parents, to discuss what's going on. So I like to lay eyes on the children I'm talking about with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get a sense of, how they're feeling, what they're able to articulate. Perhaps they're protecting one of the parents. I like to get a sense of that. Often you would be amazed how much children want to talk to me about their parents' divorce, and I can refer them to therapists if they're not already in therapy. If the children are in therapy, I won't probably meet with them.
No, I would
understand. I would talk to their therapist.
Let me give some websites, and I hope all of you have something to write with. Generally on this program, I would hope that as you are listening, that you would have a piece of paper, a pen, or pencil to write something down, because the whole focus of this program that I started 31 years ago was to try to prevent problems, if there is a problem, try to get some direction of what to do. And there's some good websites here that you might find helpful. Paula's website, in case you want to see something on her website, is Lahan. That's L-A-W-H-O-N, pronounced Lahan. LahanLaw.com, L-A-W-H-O-N-L-A-W.com. For Stacy, it's StacyShusterPhD.com and StacyShusterPhD.com, StacyShusterPhD.com. For integrative mediation, there is actually a website for that also. It's imbayarea.com, imbayarea.com. And for the Collaborative Practice of San Francisco, it's collaborativepracticesanfrancisco.com. All those words, no spaces, collaborativepracticesanfrancisco.com. Let me ask you both this. Integrative mediation, what is that? Who's involved with that?
Stacy, please. That is a model that Paula and I have been practicing for a few years now that we have found to be incredibly interesting, successful, and I think is the new direction that mediation can take. We both work together, actually often in the same room, and we can Paula can focus a lot on the financial and legal issues, and I can keep an eye on managing some of the emotional volatility that can come up in a divorce session.
IMBayArea.com. What is that? Is that yours?
No. It's an organization in the Bay Area in which, you know, we didn't initiate this. We didn't develop this model,
yeah.
Paul and I. We're practicing it.
So,
these people develop, practice it, and there's a lot of practitioners, lawyers, mental health professionals, and financial people.
Is this an educational?
It's a membership group of people who practice this way.
Yeah. It's not something that's set up on this website where someone would learn something about the process of integrative mediation?
They would, and they'd also see a lot of photos of people who practice it.
Oh, I see. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the one that's Collaborative Practice of San Francisco? Who's behind that?
Okay, so that's Collaborative Practice is a specific practice that's national and international,
right.
And there's several Bay Area chapters. I just gave the website of the San Francisco one. There's one for the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's one for Marin. They're all over California.
Are they down in Southern California?
Correct.
Also? Yeah,
yes.
Because
so
the program goes down there also.
Yes. If you look up collaborative practice, you'll see,
really?
You know, in your area in California for listeners, they're all over the state.
Or looking collaborative divorce.
Yeah.
Collaborative. Okay. If you Google collaborative divorce, you'd find
Correct.
The same thing. We have remaining in the statewide version of the program, which is the first half hour of the program, which is recorded. We send it out, and in next week, 15 stations will air the half hour. So, pardon me, we have about 4 minutes left in this first half hour. What have we not even touched upon that you want to make sure that we have some discussion about before we end the statewide version? Because I think that's very important to do.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the benefits of a less adversarial process.
Please,
implied in everything we've said, but it hasn't been stated explicitly. So I just want to name a few things. And
please,
Paul, I'd like to hear yours, too. First of all, I have found that meeting together with somebody you are divorcing can improve your communication dramatically.
Since probably the communication is very poor.
Very
at
poor
that point.
If it exists
if at all.
All.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
There are lots of tools out there, by the way, that help people in two households communicate, online tools.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important if you have children to do this process well. The single most predictive factor of children's adjustment after divorce is the quality of parenting. So if you're able to get through a divorce with all the emotional baggage that brings and still be parenting well, even if you're a mess, your kids have a much better likelihood of adjusting well after the divorce. So it's really important that you get the support you need and do this in the best, most humane way possible so you're there for your kids. They really mm-hmm. need you at a time like this. Okay.
One of the other benefits that we've touched on a little bit relates to making your own decisions as opposed to handing everything over to the court
yeah.
who knows nothing about you or your family and waiting however many months or years to actually have your case heard or individual issues heard one at a time and then having somebody who doesn't know anything spend 20 minutes and decide your case. So,
are you serious when you say 20 minutes?
Absolutely, 20-minute hearings.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right.
That's awful. And of course, that's the pressure on the court.
That is the pressure
on the court. With the fact mm-hmm. that the courts have suffered financially. Some have lost judges throughout the state. And so that's what's going on. 20-minute hearings.
20-minute hearings. There are also what we call long cause hearings when the judge decides that that's warranted.
Yeah.
There are other components of all of it, but it's such a complicated structure where if you start out in the process trying to reach agreements and trying to do this together, sitting around the table like adults, trying to have a conversation and reach agreements that work for you, as opposed to going through this whole legal process where every step along the way you're required to try to meet and talk anyway, and at the end you've got a settlement conference that you're required to do before you ever get to a trial. And so one of the things I always looked at years ago when I was litigating was to think, why don't they just start there? Why don't they start at the settlement conference stage and can we work together and try to figure some of this out and avoid all of this and avoid tens of thousands of dollars, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal and financial fees?
One of the things I think people need to know is that once you file a petition for divorce, there is a 6-month period before the court can, before the marriage can be ended. However, if you've go into court on a contested hearing, it could take well over a year.
Yes.
And maybe even longer, depending on where you are in California. Is that generally correct?
Yes.
Yes. And we've both seen lots of that.
So with mediation, generally speaking, do you feel that it can be more abbreviated in terms of the amount of time, generally speaking, that is spent from the time of the filing of a petition until the end of the marriage?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. This is your legal rights. It is right now about 7:27 and a half. At 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. I want to welcome you, and this is a very difficult, I've been doing this program for 31 years. The Family Law Section of the State Bar, which is funding this particular segment of the program, has been a funder for well over 20 years. What I have found in family law when I've done programs is that people are very reticent to call in. It's that they don't want their estranged spouse to hear them, or they don't want a family member to hear them, or a neighbor to hear them, or whatever. So what I'm doing at this point, everyone, is welcoming you to call in if you like. You can use a phony name. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you would like to call in with a question, a comment, an experience that you feel might be a benefit for others to hear about, if you have gone through divorce, or if you're thinking about going through divorce, or if you think there's another way of doing it. For those of you who are completely out of the Bay Area, and you're listening to us on the internet at www.klw.org, that's the same number, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. So if you have questions about family law, whether it's the divorcing parties or child support or child custody or things like that, and you would like to see what response you can get from my guests, please feel comfortable, I hope, to call in. Before we take our first call, what I want to mention to you is that my office, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office, the Victim Services Unit, is inviting you, wherever you may be, and preferably, of course, in the Bay Area, to attend a community outreach event and resource fair to commemorate the 2015 National Crime Victims' Rights Week, which is actually going to be next week. And on April 23rd, Thursday, April 23rd, between 9 a.m. and 11, at the Sobrato Center for Nonprofit, that's the Shoreway Conference Room in Redwood Shores, you're invited to come and meet and hear providers. Well, there will be providers there. Victims are invited. Victim service providers are invited to attend and learn about community resources available to victims in San Mateo County. So whether you're in San Mateo County or not, it might also be to your advantage to come and learn something by coming to this this event. And if you'd like some more information about it for April 23rd, in Redwood City at Shoreway Conference Room, Redwood Shores. Here's the phone number if you'd like to jot it down. 650-599-7479. 650-599-7479. For those of you who are naughty and didn't tune in at the beginning of the program, don't ever do it again. Let me tell you who my guests are. And by the way, this is Your Legal Rights. If you didn't even know it was Your Legal Rights, I'm Chuck Finney. My guests are Paula Lahan, a certified specialist in family law. Her office is in San Francisco. She is a full-time mediator. My other guest is Stacy Schuster, PhD, a psychologist and family therapist. Her office is in San Francisco. And we're going to start with Mary. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The comment I wanted to make, and I did tune in a little late, sorry, is that I went through a divorce about 10 years ago, and we actually did go to a mediator, and in about 10 to 12 sessions, we hammered out an agreement that I thought was very fair, and then we were both told to go take it to our lawyers to, you know, just get the final okay, and my husband's lawyer said, I can do better for you in court.
Said he could do better for he could do better for your husband in court. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So $25,000 later, we finally, settled the divorce. And my question is, I got a certain amount of spousal support because I had been the stay-at-home mom, which in the agreement, my husband can go back to court when he either retires or turns 65 and, get that reduced or maybe even, ended. And I just wondered, is there any way that I can, if in fact he decides to do that, that I can cope without having to go through another $25,000, which...
Good point. Good point. Mary, let me get some comments for you. Can she take your answer on the air by turning the radio back up? Yeah. Okay. Mary, do that if you would, Mary. Let me suggest this, by the way. Mary, I think, was on her cell phone. It sounded like she might have been driving in her vehicle with the window down. What I'm going to suggest to you, if you're driving... I would suggest, and you want to call into the program, please pull off. If you're on the freeway, pull off the freeway. If you're driving on a surface street, pull off. Pull to the side and park and roll your windows up so that we get good reception from you. And from a safety standpoint, that's terribly important. As one of the listeners mentioned a week or two ago, and I think it's very good practice. So if you want to call in on the program and you're driving your car, just get off the freeway or pull off if you're on the surface street to the side, park. Be patient. People are so impatient nowadays. It probably won't hurt you to take some deep breaths, be patient, and just wait until we call you on the your name. Okay, Paula, I think Mary is directing her thoughts to you.
Yes. So, Mary, I'm sorry to hear that the money and time spent in mediation, all that effort, ended up with you guys still going to court and $25,000 poorer. But I think that your question was that if your ex goes back when he retires or turns 65 to change the spousal support arrangement, do you have to go spend another $25,000, meaning do you have to go back to court? So, no, you don't. Hopefully, the two of you can work together in mediation and reach an agreement together and have an enforceable agreement without having to go through that process again. And maybe the fact that you guys ended up spending a lot more time and money than you had anticipated the first time, maybe that will encourage him to reach agreements in mediation with you. But we often do see, we call these post-judgment mediations, where that's post, you know, several years later, and they come in and they just modify their support agreement. We just put it in writing, normally a very short stipulation of some kind, to say this is what it's going to be. And it's a nice thing to do because there might be a lot of financial circumstances that have changed since the 10 years ago when they divorced to when he actually retires. So it would be a looking at the current incomes, current situations, current needs, and seeing what might be appropriate, because maybe support ends, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's, you know, figure out a different structure.
Do you think at this point, Paula, that since obviously I think Mary said she got divorced 10 years ago?
Yeah. Right.
Do you think at this point it would be valuable for Mary, since it is 10 years ago, and although it was very hurtful, I'm sure, both financially as well as emotionally, do you think it would be wise for her to see an attorney and kind of have a consultation ahead of time and trying to map out how she might prepare herself for this? And I don't mean with some kind of potential litigation, but I mean in just 10 years is a long time, and it wouldn't hurt, in my opinion, to be refreshed on what might be in front of you if this occurs.
Sure. It depends possibly on the terms of if it was a settlement agreement, because there might be specific terms of when it would be or how it could be revised and what specific factors might be looked at.
Yeah.
It also might be that she knows exactly what circumstances have changed, and it's simply a matter of looking at their current incomes. It's case specific.
Sure.
So she might probably know better, but it's not a bad idea to have a consult with an attorney with an eye towards getting into a mediated situation, as long as you are finding an attorney who truly is supportive of the mediation process and is not like the ex-husband's attorney who said, I can get a better deal for you. Let's go fight in court.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to do in terms of trying to help you if you have a legal problem is give you some direction in terms of where you might go. If you're looking for a certified specialist, you can call the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, including for family law. That's the statewide number is 415-538-2100. You can go to the Cal Bar's website. That's www.calbar.ca.gov. Go to the left of your computer screen for legal specialists. You can find out who the legal specialists are in your county, whether it's family law or whatever, and see if you want to make an appointment with an attorney. I want you to understand this. I'm a consumer advocate. For the last 30 years, I've been in the Consumer Protection Unit of the San Mateo County DA's office. I'm not trying to find jobs and money for attorneys. That's the last thing I want to do. I designed this program to help you non-lawyers, believe it or not, avoid problems, or if you have a problem, try to get some help. So that's available. Also, if you're in a particular county, whether it's San Francisco, Santa Clara, Marin County, Alameda County, you have a bar association there and a lawyer referral service that you can contact. And in those counties, for example, if you call them and tell them what the problem is, whatever it may be, they'll do their best of finding some attorney who's experienced, and they'll set you up for a half an hour consultation for some very basic information. And you'll pay, with minor exception throughout the state, $25 to $35 for the half an hour. So that's something available to you also. Support for KOW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Chicago Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. All right, let's do this. Let's now go to Lisa. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
So my question is, if both parties are very amicable and we just want a divorce and we don't want to fight over plates and spoons, and we just, I know what I want and I don't intend on fighting for anything that belongs to him, can we just, is the court going to make us have to split assets if we don't intend on taking each other's retirement or bank accounts?
Mm. Okay, good question. And are you thinking, Lisa, in light of the fact that it sounds like you have a very good relationship with your husband, although you want to get divorced, are you thinking that you both can do this without a lawyer or lawyers being involved? Is that your thought at this point?
Well, I mean, for filing all of the paperwork correctly, I would almost think that maybe we could both go to one lawyer and say,
yeah, okay,
hey, one lawyer, can you help us file everything? We just want to get it done.
Let me get some comments from Paula on this.
So, hi, Lisa. There were two questions in there. The first one was, is the court going to require that you split assets that you don't want to have to split, like retirement accounts or bank accounts or I love the plates and spoons? But
now that's serious, the plates and
serious.
The spoons, yeah.
But no, they won't. Whatever your agreements are on your division of assets, you get to divide up your stuff however you want. So if you are keeping your retirements and he's keeping his and they're nowhere near equal, that's perfectly fine. You get to do that if that's what you want to do. On the filing, whether or not you go to one attorney to help you file and get all that done, that's actually one of the things that we do as a mediation office. And there are three attorney mediators in my office, and that's often what we're doing. Sometimes we're helping people to reach agreements, and other times we are simply guiding them through the whole process. We meet with them, we file the petition paperwork, we help them get their financial disclosures done that are required, we get their agreement documented, and we get it filed with the court, and nobody's fighting, and everybody's happy and goes on their way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How with respect to what Lisa is now her second question, doing the paperwork, etc., how do consumers who are not familiar with the legal process, how do they find attorneys in family law who are mediators? How do you do that? Besides
Google.
Listening to this program. Yeah.
There are different ways. I guess probably the way that most people find our office, if it's not a referral from another attorney or a prior client or family member, something like that.
Or
Stacy.
Yeah.
It is an internet search.
Is it?
So
okay.
Searching for, people often go in and they search for family lawyers or divorce lawyers. They don't really know, right? They just go in and start typing things. And then that's often where a mediation office might come up and they say, oh, a mediator? Wasn't that interesting? And we definitely have had people call and say, we don't actually need mediation. We just need exactly what Lisa's situation is. We have complete agreements. We're not fighting. We don't need someone to help us do that. But there are a lot of details. Mm-hmm. And there might be tax issues that come up as a result of what they're doing. Or there might be other logistical issues. And those are just things that we make sure are clear and clean in mm-hmm. the settlement agreement. So that's a mediation office would be a perfect for that. That technically is that one lawyer, even though they're not representing both parties.
Well, I hope this is somewhat helpful to you, Lisa.
It has been very much.
Yeah,
Thank you so much. I would have never thought to Google that.
How long have you guys been married?
10 years.
Have you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope this is helpful for you.
Yes, it has been. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, and I do appreciate people, being, it's a painful time, no matter what, even if you're in a good relationship with your spouse, it's painful, no matter what. And I appreciate people who call in and would like to get some direction of what to do. The number here is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And we've got Karen. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks so much for taking my call, and thanks for your show.
Oh, thank you.
I basically have a comment or a request. I'm a survivor of domestic violence who successfully achieved my divorce, and am here to tell you about it. But I'm wondering if you could share some resources with others who might be experiencing domestic violence on ways that they can get resources that they need to move forward with a divorce, just to help others.
Let me again mention, I don't know if you heard this, but my office, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office, is inviting, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office is inviting people who are victims of domestic violence, as well as victim service providers, to come to this event in Redwood Shores next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, April 23rd. So that might be something, wherever you are in the Bay Area, whether you're a resident of San Mateo County or San Francisco, Alameda, or whatever, this is something. This is the Shoreway Conference Room is fairly large, and I would suggest that you might want to call the office and get a little bit more information about it, and then my guests on the program will respond to you. But that number is 650-599-7479, 650-599-7479, and call and speak to Christina Avila Somerville, and she'll give you some information about it. What comments do you have for Karen? Stacey,
I actually want to address that. I'm glad you asked this question, Karen, because the question comes up in cases of domestic violence, is mediation appropriate? And I would say sometimes, but in the cases in which there is dominating, controlling kind of domestic violence, what they call coercive controlling violence, it is definitely not appropriate to do mediation, because the presupposition of mediation is that it's mediating among equals, among people who can cooperate or are willing to try to cooperate even if they haven't. And if somebody is dominating or terrorizing another person, mediation is not the right way, just like psychotherapy would not be right or traditional family therapy. Now, there are cases of what is called domestic violence, which is, you know, people, things getting out of hand and sort of a mutual hitting or something like that. Those kind of cases, I believe, can be mediated. But in a more chronic kind of way, when there's domestic violence or coercion, I would not, I would screen for that. And that said, I know the San Francisco courts have a domestic violence unit that deals with that. There, you can pursue it in the family courts and also in the civil court. So there hopefully is some relief there, and there are people trained in the courts to handle that. This is one way in which I think court can be useful, because, you know, in terms of temporary restraining orders, permanent restraining orders, ordering if there's children supervised visitation, and monitoring that, you can get some help monitoring that so your children are not exposed.
And that's certainly the situation in San Mateo County also.
Sure, in all counties.
Yeah. And I think so. So that is available to try to get some help, some direction from either the unit that may be in the district attorney's office, or it may be a part of the actual superior court in the county, wherever you may be. Any further comments for Karen on this?
No, the only thing I was thinking was the collaborative practice model. Stacey, I know this is something that you're more involved in. I was collaboratively trained years ago, but I've only done mediation for so long now. I'm just wondering, because the collaborative practice model has the each person is represented by attorneys, and they each have the divorce coaches, which is mental health professionals, and they are all working together. So it's a different model than what we're talking about here with the integrative or co-mediation. But is that a more appropriate model for the situation, a domestic violence, if there is some desire to still try to work together and not litigate?
I think I would have to know more about the case to know if it could even be appropriate. Because if people can't really negotiate with one another without one person being put at risk, I don't think any kind of alternative dispute resolution is going to be appropriate.
And what you might do, Karen, have you been a victim of domestic physical violence?
Yes.
You have?
Emotional and physical.
And have, what county are you in?
I'm currently in San Mateo, but this all occurred in another state.
Oh, in another state. So is there an action? Is there some kind of domestic violence action in the other state?
No, and I think this is true for a lot of victims, did not have the strength to press charges. I felt very threatened. It was not a safe environment, and I left the state. I gained residence in another state. It took me 1 year before I could file for divorce.
I see.
In that state, and ended up getting it with no contest. So it all worked out. Mm-hmm. It all worked out well for me, but I did not press charges.
But in that you are currently in San Mateo County, I assume your former husband is in some other state?
Oh, yes.
That's good. Okay, well, that helps. That certainly helps, certainly. Well, I hope this has been of some help to you.
Thank you so much. I definitely appreciate you lending some time to this situation.
Well, thank you very much for being so open about this.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Very, very painful type of thing, obviously, to have dealt with and continue to deal with. Children involved, Karen?
No.
Thank God. Thank God for that. That's good. Well, take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for calling.
Take care.
We do have a few minutes left on Your Legal Rights in case you have a question, a comment, or some concern that you would like to call in about. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Again, if you are thinking that you want to try, you're thinking that you're confronting or you are already on the road to a divorce and want to find some reduced pain by working together with an attorney and mental health professional, again, I want to give you the websites that I have, both for my guests. For Paula Lahan, it's lawhonlaw.com. For Stacy Schuster, PhD.com, it's stacyschusterphd.com. There is this integrative mediation website, imbarea.com. And then there's the Collaborative Practice of San Francisco, and there's also the divorce practice that you could Google. But the one, Collaborative Practice of San Francisco, is collaborativepracticesanfrancisco.com, all one long word. And maybe by going to that website, you may be able to find out how you can find others wherever you may be. I think people have decided they've called enough who want to call. And what would you like? We have a very few minutes left in the program. And what have we not even touched upon, Paula, that you feel we should spend a couple of minutes with?
I think the only thing I was thinking of was that both Stacy and I, in our respective practices and in our joint practices, we work with a lot of same-sex couples. And this is both for people who are in formalized relationships, like same-sex marriages, mm-hmm. also registered domestic partnerships, also people in non-formalized relationships. Mm-hmm. Cohabitations. So we're able to craft agreements, work together to be more creative than maybe what the law at this stage might allow for some of those situations.
Well, that's very interesting. Very interesting. What comments do you have about that, Stacy?
Well, I want to add to that. A lot of times with same-sex couples, you know, marriage is so new. As a legal right in California, we're going on 2 years now, that a lot of time in the case of a divorce, the length of the relationship and or the length of the domestic partnership way precedes the marriage. So there need to be some mediated agreements about any decision that relates to the duration of the relationship, because the length of the marriage is just not going to represent all of the relationship at all. And this can be a form of an impasse in a divorce, in a same-sex divorce that needs to be mediated or decided in some way. So I find mediation to be an especially useful modality with same-sex couples.
But what would you say percentage of your practice, Paula, involves same-sex couples?
A significant percentage.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Of course, is this, would you say, because your office is in San Francisco, because there are more same-sex couples there, or would you say this is generally, modernly, what's going on throughout the state?
Gosh, that's hard to say.
Or large communities, L.A. County, Santa Clara County, et cetera.
You know, what I do know is that there are only a handful of full-time mediators in San Francisco who are family law attorneys. Mm-hmm. And of those, I know that I do a lot of same-sex mediations. Mm-hmm. So I know that there is a large percentage of the attorneys who work primarily in same-sex family law who refer their mediated divorces to our office.
I
think it's because we've worked with it for so long. It's developed that's part of our practice. It's a pretty significant component of our practice.
How about you, of yours?
Same with me. I actually don't only work with people who are divorcing. I do, you know, regular psychotherapy, family therapy, couples therapy, and parenting, like parental guidance kind of work. And all through the years, I've worked with lesbian, gay couples, you know, married, domestic partners, dissolving their relationships, raising children, parenting issues, and so on. So...
Well, certainly I think you've given us all a real nice picture about how positive mediating, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a cohabitation or whether it's just the couples together, how important mediation can be as opposed to being confronted with obviously a divorce and contest. Larry, you've got 1 minute. What's your question, if you would, please?
Hi, thanks. Just wondering if there's a limitation on how long... I've been separated for 2 years. I was a stay-at-home parent. We're about to get divorced and do the child custody settlement. We have two boys. I've been living separately with...
But your question, quickly, if you would, Larry.
Is the fact that I have not applied for spousal support up until this point a problem?
Okay, take your answer on the air. Is there a problem with this?
Not necessarily. It depends on how long the marriage was and what your other financial circumstances are. If you guys are sharing income or what the, you know, it depends, but maybe not. So go talk to an attorney.
I want to thank you both very much for coming on the program. And Larry, I'm sorry that you called so late because that doesn't help. I think you might want to contact your local bar association lawyer referral service and get an initial consultation with a family lawyer. Mm-hmm. I want to thank both of you. Paula Lahan, thank you very much. Certified specialist in family law. And Stacey Schuster, PhD, psychologist, family therapist. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the program, both of you. Thank you very much for all you're trying to do to help people who are having problems. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we're going to do the topic of bankruptcy law, debtors' rights in dealing with overwhelming debt. My guests will be specialists in bankruptcy law, Leon Bayer and Scott Bovitz. And also, it's our Call a Lawyer night. So keep in mind, if you'd like to talk to any one of the attorneys off the air, 800-525-9917. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.